Philippians chapter number 3. Wrote a couple things down here I want to mention here in the course of the service, Lord willing. Philippians chapter number 3, and I encourage you, if you hadn't read the book of Philippians, you ought to read it. You can read it actually in one setting. Just four short chapters, but I don't know of a book that would probably help you as any more quickly than the book of Philippians. And you know what word appears several times? There's several words that really are key words in the book. The word joy, rejoicing, gladness, those words 19 times in four chapters. That's the theme. That's the theme. The word mind, think, remembrance, know, knowing, knowledge, 20 times. So evidently it's got something to do with how I think if I'm going to have joy. But the one I want to not really look at tonight, but I do want to mention, is the word things. 17 times in four chapters. Things. How many times we've been defeated because of things? Whether it was factual things, imaginary things, supposed things, whatever. But we let things. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, and that we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I believe God wants us to have victory over things. You can't stop a lot of things from happening, but you can stop the things from having a negative effect on your life. In fact, before we even read the scripture, look at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. Now, Paul's writing the book of Philippians from a prison, a Roman prison. And look what he said in verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said the reason things has not defeated me is because these things are providence in my life. Their providence, that is the providential working, arranging of God for the purpose of moving me from point A to point B to place for the furtherance of the gospel. Had he not went to the Roman prison, there would be a lot of people missing in heaven. Because you can go through and come to the fourth chapter of Philippians and guess who is, Paul is telling us that is, and he's recognizing and saluting them. Verse 22 of chapter 4, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You do know who that is. That's people he won to God inside the prison. Instead of whining about the things that had happened unto him, he used those things as a ministry. He used those things, realizing God allowed these things to get me where I need to be so that I can tell others what they need to hear. But we gauge our joy over the things, whether it's approved things or disapproved things, like things or dislike things, don't we? Come on now. Help us, Lord. But look in chapter 3. I ought to preach through the book. I did that years ago. I ought to preach through the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Let's just start. It's been a while since we've read this. Let's look in verse, we'll just read starting in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. What about that? Here's a man in prison. His hands and feet are in the stock. He's chained to rotating soldiers, round the clock, rotating soldiers. I think it's like every 4 hours they would unhook two and bring two more in. How would you like to be as a lost person, chained with locks to the Apostle Paul? Say amen right there. I'll guarantee, and that's how he won them to the Lord. They was bringing the lost people in there and chaining them to him so he could win them to Christ. Amen. And he's telling us, rejoice in the Lord. You can't rejoice in where you are a lot of time, but you can rejoice in the Lord. You can't rejoice in what's happening to you, but you can always rejoice in the Lord. You can't rejoice of what's taking place or what might be taking place or what may never take place. You can't rejoice in stuff like that, but you can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. May God help us with that personally. And may God help us with that as a church collectively to rejoice in the Lord. I can't rejoice how I feel, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can't rejoice in a doctor's report, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can't rejoice in the economy, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can't rejoice in how I'm treated, but I can rejoice in the Lord. Or whatever you want to put in there. Finally, my brethren, I think that's pretty interesting. You know, sometimes we preachers will say, now finally, you know, or we're about done. That's what that interpretation means. We're almost done, but then in this case, he wrote two more chapters. The book of Ephesians, he used that same term and wrote three more chapters. So I guess what I'm saying is finally or I'm almost done don't mean nothing. Amen. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised, listen to these credentials. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things, there's things again, but what things were gain to me? That was gained to him earthly, socially, financially, religiously, and materially. He said, those things that were gained to me, I counted loss. Why? And for whom? For Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. He's been saved for years now, but he still had a desire to know God. Amen. To know God experientially. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. By the way, if you want to make a note right there, and I didn't know that till I was studying this, and I've preached from this passage numerous times, but I want to tell you what I do each time God leads me to a passage. I dig it out again, I meditate on it, and God shows me new, fresh stuff. And I never saw this before, never saw it as many times as I preached out of this passage. But the same words found in verse 14, I press, is the same words in verse 12, I follow after. Same word. That's just a good note. I think it's a good note. he said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and that's the point we preached a few weeks ago, or how long it's been. Forgetting those things which are behind, and that's the word that spoke to me. That's the word that got my attention that night after I left the service, Brother Fultz, and went home. The message that I preached on those things, forgetting those things which are behind. That thing was feeding me when I went home, and I sat down on my bed and opened my Bible again, and I reread that verse. And when I read that verse, that word "and" jumped off the page. That word "and" says forgetting's not all there is to it. There's more. You didn't preach all of it. That's what God told me. So you didn't preach all of it. You just preached one part. And everybody can do that one part and still be defeated. Amen. Amen. And so we'll deal with that if the Lord will help us here shortly. Where did we get to? Reading and preaching, that's hard to do. Are we in verse 13? How did I get over? My goodness. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I can't wait to get there tonight to tell you that there are things before. It's just as real, those things that are before us, as there are those things that are behind us. Those things are factual behind us, but they don't have to be forceful. Remember that statement. They're behind us, they're real. Sister, what you were talking about, they were real hurts. They weren't imaginary. They was real letdowns. They were real disappointments. Amen. Come on now. Amen. That's right. And forgetting those things that are behind need to be forgotten. But that's not all there are to it. There are things that are before. Lest I forget it. I just want to insert right here. Amen. A lot of people act like there are no things before. Before means ahead of us, up front, where we're the direction that we're going in. There are no things. We act like that. We look back and we saw things that we've lost. We look back and we saw things that used to be. We see things that once was. We see things and all of that is in our background. There's not a person here that doesn't have something in your past that you do need to let go of. Amen. You need to let go of that. But I'm glad for the Holy Spirit letting that word "and" jump off the page and let me know that forgetting those things which are behind, as important as that is not all there is to it. You turned around and you've dealt with that behind you. You've dealt with that baggage. You've dealt with that all that's behind you. But it's time to turn around. It's time to turn around and realize there are things before us. Things behind me is things that I've already experienced. Things before me are things I've not yet experienced. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll let what's behind you cause you to get stuck. And you'll get stuck in the present. You'll get stuck in the present. And I don't believe God is in that. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, He never meant for them to get stuck. He never meant for them. That's why the tabernacle in the wilderness was a portable tabernacle. It was meant to be put up, serve His purpose, and be taken down and moved to the next spot and set up and worship God and take it down and move to the next spot. Truly, we are pilgrims and strangers, a passing through. Amen, Lord. Forgetting those things. And then verse 14, I press toward the mark. for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you can read the rest of the chapter when you get home. But yes, there are those things that we need to forget. Forgetting. It's got an ing on it. You need to underscore those three letters. That would be a, what would that be, a suffix? Come on, English teachers. ING, is that a suffix? Priest in the front and say, y'all thought I was as dumb as a box of rock. Forgetting. Ongoing, continual. Because I'm going to tell you, friend, if you just forgot in a revival those things which are behind, you forgot in a revival or a good Sunday morning service, amen, you forgot those things, forgot. A one-time deal, you forgot. Then next thing you know, you're struggling. Next thing you know, you're in a valley. Next thing you know, you're under pressure again. Next thing you know, you're hurt again. And guess what? Those things that you forgot, there they are again. But forgetting those things, amen, Lord, help me tonight to feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind means you constantly keep your mind off of that and constantly keep your hands off of that. And make sure that they stay in the past. Those things which are behind. Make sure they are and stay behind. Amen, Lord. Lord's trying to help us, I believe. Praise God. There are some things that needs to be forgotten. But not everything behind you needs to be forgotten. That, I never saw that before, but when I got to digging in, meditating more on it, notice this emphasis as I read it. Forgetting those things. Now, I'm not too smart, but I can see right there clearly that he's speaking of specific things. Those things. He didn't just say forget everything. He said it forgetting those things. What would those things be? Those things I counted but lost, that I may win Christ. Those things that had a negative effect on me spiritually, I need to learn what I need to dismiss and what I need to hold on to. I need to learn what needs to be let go and what things I need to carry on. Not forgetting everything. God doesn't want us to forget everything. My goodness. You ought to go through the book of Philippians and write down some of the things that sticks out that you shouldn't forget. I'm not going to give you all I wrote down, but I'm going to share one. Paul starts out in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Christ. Paul remembered back when that happened. Paul remembered back when he got saved. Paul remembered back when God called him and sent him forth to be the one that would carry the gospel to the Gentile world. Amen. Don't forget that. Don't forget that day God saved you. Don't forget that day you met the Master. Don't forget that day. Let that be alive in your present. Let that be a heartbeat in your present. Let that be a compass in your present. Don't forget that. Don't forget the day that God reached further down than you could reach up. Don't forget that day. Amen. That God made the wonderful change in your life. Amen. Well, I just went down through chapter 1 and so forth. And just chapter 1, saved in service. Verse number 2, grace and peace. Don't forget that. Verse 4, answered prayer. On and on. We could go. But not everything needs to be forgotten. Everything behind me is not bad. That's why he specified those things. Not everything. Some people forget everything. They act like they go through a hard time now and they forget everything. They forget about everything. All of the commitments they made to the Lord, all the vows they made to the Lord, all those times that they made advances toward Christ to get close to Him. They go through a heartache and a hardship and they forget that. A lot of people, Miss Benton, a lot of people feeling what you felt and went through and God's give you victory over. There's been a lot of people got out of church over that. When you give yourself, amen, to people or a person or whatever, and they love you for a while, but then all of a sudden now you're an enemy, and they're eating you up and biting and devouring you and stabbing you in the back and all that. I'm going to tell you, that goes with it. It goes with it. Everywhere Jesus went, for the most part, he was hated. And he was guilty of nothing but loving people and wanting to do good for people and save people and change their life. Amen. But there's been a lot of people get out of church over that. A lot of preachers have quit. A lot of preachers' wives have quit. A lot of preachers' children, PK kids, have quit because of heartaches. Are you listening? Determine and discern in your life what you need to let go and what you don't need to let go. Those things that constantly keeps pulling on your flesh to go back to thoughts and go back to places where that was a stronghold. That was a stronghold for the wrong reason in your life, and it pulled you away from God. Forget those things. Forgetting those things which are behind. And everybody knows that Paul's using the illustration here of a runner. I press toward the mark, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. That is a runner. That's an athlete. But not everything needs to be forgotten. I'm going to skip through all that. I was going to give you the stuff I got on that baby and bathwater thing I gave you the other day, but I'm not going to give you that tonight. I'll use that another time. I will tell you this much on it. No, I better not. If I get started on that, it's going to drag. Yeah, I don't know whether to tell you all that or not. You can look it up. It's on Wikipedia. Throwing the baby out with the bad water may not be in the Bible, but the principle is. Yeah. Lord, help us. I don't need to do that. I'll just leave that with you. But the idea behind that statement, I will at least give you that. How many's heard that term? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Everybody's heard that term. It's an expression for an avoidable error in which something good is eliminated when trying to get rid of something bad. Or in other words, this is Wikipedia, rejecting the favorable along with the unfavorable. How many times you can let bad cause you to throw the good and the bad out the door? One person do you wrong, you take your whole church family and chunk them out the windows. Well, who could? I ain't nobody going to treat me that way and get by. How many treated you that way? One. I'm not going to go into the details of that, but here's your couple thoughts. A lot of people throw the water out and keep the baby. That's what you're supposed to do. Throw away the nasty, keep the good, keep all that. But a lot of people throws the baby out and keeps the water. They throw the baby out, the good, the valuable, and they keep what is not worth nothing. What good is that? I've done that. I probably put my signature on that statement. And I got a whole lot of stuff I could give you on that, but I'm going on. Moving forward. We're moving forward. Everybody say we're moving forward. We're moving forward, friend. Amen. Listen to this. I wrote this down. There needs to be a rearward forgetting or a releasing of negative things, while at the same time, you need to be turning around. Because if I turn around and face what's behind me, is it behind me? It's not behind me. If I forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth, and means I've turned around, I'm reaching in a different direction, that means that which is behind me is in fact behind me. But if you're not careful, you'll turn around. maybe not do good spiritually, go through a hard time spiritually, struggle a little bit spiritually. Next thing you know, if you're not careful, you'll turn around and start looking at some of them things that's back there in your past. Start looking at them. The problem happens when you turn around instead of what's behind you is now before you because you've turned. It's not that they're out in front of you, it's that you've turned around. Jesus dealt with that. He that putteth his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He was telling, don't look back. You can't plow a straight line. You can't plant. You can't do that. You can't focus and be productive by looking back. Miss Kim, the other day when I preached on that, she came up to me after the service and she made mention something about the rear view mirror. How big is a rear view mirror? Somebody give me some indication. How big is it? Miss Caden, tell me. Look at that. She said about this big. And that's probably pretty accurate. Pretty accurate, probably about that big. All right, how big's the front windshield? Somebody tell me. Why would you want to be looking in the rearview mirror all the time of what used to be and where you once were? When there's a windshield in front of you that you can look through. And the Lord showed me this too in meditating on that statement, that term. A rear view mirror is really not, you're not really, it's a reflective view. That's all it is. It's just a reflective view. But a windshield is you're looking through it and seeing the real, the real. Amen. Well, I thought that was pretty good. So there needs to be a rearward forgetting or releasing of negative things in my past. But it also, there needs to be a forward, I call it foreseeing, reaching unto those things which are before, which are positive things. What are you reaching for? The Lord give me this, if I can find it right here, I wrote it down. I wrote it down here somewhere, that a lot of people have a problem. They're reaching forward without forgetting what's behind. Or they're forgetting what's behind, but they're not reaching forward. They forget what's behind. You know, you get help in a Sunday morning service, Sunday night, or revival, whatever. You get help, and then all of a sudden, you're struggling. How did I miss? I forgot. I went to the altar. I dealt with those things which are behind. That word "and" is your problem. That word "and." It's like a two-sided coin. A one-sided coin is worthless. If all you did was the forgetting and not the reaching, there's no victory in that. That's only half truth. That's a half truth. But there needs to be not only the forgetting, but there also needs to be that and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You need to empty your hands of what's behind you and reach forth unto those things which are before. Here's what that word "and" says. It's a word of connection. I think you call it a conjunction. Is that right? Man, I'm getting smart, ain't I? No, I'm having to read. I'm having to research. I'm having to study. I'm having to ask questions. That's what I get for going through school, not being serious, not trying to learn nothing, just being an ignorant, flunky football player. That's it. Wear a leather jacket around like I was something. I still got it. I'm surprised they didn't retire number 47. Because it was such a bad deal. Oh, Lord. But here's what the word "and" says. The word "and" says that forgetting and reaching are connected. Don't separate what God connects. Don't put a divider between things that God hooks together. And we've done that. I've done that. We've all done that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. It not only tells me they are connected together, but it also tells me that it connects, the word and connects two different equal values. Reaching forth unto those things, how many would say that's important and valuable and helpful and useful? Well, if they're equal, they join two equal things, then forgetting is just as important as reaching. How do you like this English preaching? It not only connects equal value and importance. Watch this now. I didn't get this out of a book, friend. But it also connects in proper order. Forgetting has got to be done first, then the reaching. So you can't skip what's in order, what's connected in order. You got to keep it in that order. A process that continues in that said order all the days of your life. Forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching, forgetting, reaching. All of that is going on at the same time. You'll never, if you're alive, you still need that. All the days of your life, there needs to be that forgetting and reaching, forgetting and reaching, forgetting and reaching, forgetting and reaching. It also tells me this, and tells me this, that these two work together. And by working together, it means that if there's a problem with one, usually it's connected to a problem with the other. If I'm not reaching, it's probably because I'm not forgetting. How many people is not reaching forth unto those things which are before because they are not done the forgetting part, forgetting those things which are behind? Amen. Reaching forth problem stems from a forgetting those things which are behind problem. I'm going to give you something right here. Some people are trying to forget without reaching, and others are trying to reach without forgetting. Neither one of them are successful because it's one being done without the other. This is good now. I'm telling you, this is real good right here. Lord, give this to me. Without forgetting, I will be stuck in the past. And here's why. My past stays present. That's pretty good preaching right there, Preacher Rankin. I'm telling you, that was, Lord, give that to me. And I thought, man, I want to say that again. Without forgetting, I will be stuck in the past because my past will stay present. My past will stay present. With that, here's the other side of that. Without the reaching forth, I will be stuck in the present because my future will stay future. Now, you can take that or leave it, but I'm telling you, that right there ought to help you. Without forgetting, I'll be stuck in the past because my past stays present. I've not let it go. I've not let it go. It's with me. It goes with me. I'm carrying it forward. How many people struggling with that? How many people are struggling, even as adults, they're struggling with their childhood? I can't believe how many times I've seen that and dealt with people. They're struggling with how they was treated as a young person. Amen. Amen. They need to let that go. And I know that's words, and I know that's easy said. And Brother Fultz, I'm glad I didn't have that. I'm glad I had a mom and daddy that was right toward me. Yes, I got I don't know about my share, but I got several whoopings. I didn't get no whippings. I never did get none of them. I got whoopings. They have a big difference, friend. And I told Daddy when he was living with us, when he was having to stay 2 weeks at a time, before he just completely just lost his mind, and I told him, I said, Daddy, I want to thank you for every time that you tore my hind end up. And I did. I thanked him. And I said, and he just grinned a little bit, and I said, and I should have gotten a lot more. Amen. But I thanked him. Amen. I can't wait to see Mom and Daddy again. Boy, kids, if you got your mom and daddy, you ought to make a big deal out of that. Amen. Don't spend your life on useless things. When mom and daddy is at the house, when mama's in the kitchen, or whatever the case is, don't be so preoccupied with social media or whatever that you never spend no time with mom and daddy. Because one day you're going to look around. I don't know why I'm inserting that right there. It don't have a thing to do with the verse I'm preaching from. You're going to look around and the kitchen's going to be empty. No mama in the kitchen. No mama hugging you. No mama to call. I can still hear my mama as if it was yesterday. She called me. Went down and moved to South Carolina, pastoring that church, busy, running to and fro and working, trying to keep from starving to death and everything else. And she'd call me and she'd say, Miss Connie, I can hear it just like it was yesterday. She called herself, said a mama, she called herself Muddies. To baby talk to me. And she'd say, when you going to come see Muddies? I failed in that area, buddy. I failed right there. My goodness, I better get off that or I won't be able to finish. But you need to make good choices. Value things that are valuable. Things that's going to help you be a better adult. But there's a lot of kids, a lot of adults that battle with things that happened in their youth and their childhood. I've dealt with adults in my ministry, adults. I'm talking about probably in my age bracket that's still struggling with molestation in their childhood. Abuse in their childhood. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't know. I can try to counsel. I can try to help. I don't know how many times, Brother Craig, I've used these verses right here to try to help them with that. But only the Lord can help. And we've heard Brother Mullins talk about his youth, how he was just beat. I didn't have that, and I'm thankful. But maybe something like that's happened in your youth. Maybe there was neglect. Maybe there was things happened that you didn't deserve and or you blamed yourself because mom and daddy split up or whatever the case. I don't know. But I know this. There is a Bible principle right here in these verses that shows me that this truth can happen. I can forget, let go of those things which are behind. There is victory in that. You think God would have led Paul to wrote that if it's not a thing that can happen? Amen. There's people having to deal with all kinds of things. Rape, molestation, verbal abuse, called names, every name in the book. I talked to an individual on the phone. I'll not mention names or details. Not long ago, about maybe a week and a half or so ago. Good man, godly man. Still struggling. He's an adult, got his own family. He still struggles with all the name calling and put downs that his mama and daddy and parents put on him. You can't tell a child you're worthless and useless and you'll never amount to nothing. You can't tell them that over and over and over and all the time without them start to believe it. They'll start to believe it. I am worthless. I am useless. Always putting them down. I'm going to tell you, there's kids, there's adults struggles with that. And there is mental damage is done through that. And some of you kids here, you don't even know what that is. You've got a parent that loves you. You've got a mom and dad that'll hug on you and love on you. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful. I don't know how I got on that, but that'll work. It tells me they work together. Tells me if there's a problem with one, then there's a problem with the other. Listen to this. This thing's getting bigger. I don't know how in the world I'm going to finish. God's in it. I know that. I know that, friend. I don't know who's watching, about live stream, or who will watch, but I believe there's some help going to come. These people need to hear this, that all this happened in my past. And a lot of, listen, you know what the hardest thing to deal with? Is things that you didn't even do nothing wrong. You didn't do nothing wrong. You was trying to be a good kid, a good boy, a good girl, a good son or daughter, and people's railing on you and hating you and calling you names and everything else. That's hard to deal with right there. That's hard to deal with. Brother Brown. Same deal. He told me, he said, it didn't matter what was going on. He said, I could just about count on it. I'd get beat every day. Just beat. Just something went on among the siblings and kids, they'd just go ahead and just grab him and beat the devil out of him. And he's got scars over that. Mental scars, emotional scars. Amen. Don't have any self-esteem. A lot of people don't have any self-esteem because they've been told they were worthless so long they believe it. And you try to brag on them, try to pat them on the back, encourage them, exhort them, and no. You know, because they've heard the other, Brother Rob, so long in their childhood that they think that that's what they're supposed to be hearing. That's why it's so important that when we come together and assemble ourselves together, that we do what Hebrews 10:25 says, exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. You don't have to look far if you want to point out faults. Listen, you don't have to look far in my life. You don't have to look far in my life. If you're in that mindset, I'm looking around finding fault with everybody else, hey, start with the preacher. You don't have to look far. You don't have to look far. But I tell you what I need. I need people occasionally, at least, to exhort me. I need somebody that say, praying for you, preacher. I appreciate you staying with it. Monday night after the service, I went and checked in the motel up there where I was staying. And there sit baskets of stuff. And there was homemade classroom cards made. Just little old cards. Looked like just cut out pieces of paper. Wasn't nothing fancy. You could tell the scribble on them come from little kids. And they even had a little picture, little photograph of themselves taped inside there. And in their best way, of course, they might have been told what to write. But they was, thank you, Preacher Rackley, that you're still preaching. Hallelujah. Boy, don't go to my head. That goes to my heart. We're glad you're still with it. Glad you didn't quit. I'm glad you hadn't quit. I'm glad you didn't give up. I'm glad you're still with it, preacher. Card after card, I stood there and read those cards and looked at them looked at some of those. And you know what was amazing? Thursday night, several of those got saved Thursday night. Because I went back and looked through those cards again and showed them to Alicia. And when we looked through, and I said, that one got saved Thursday night. She'd open up another one. I said, that one got saved Thursday night. Hallelujah, Lord. It pays to serve God. Everybody's not going to rail on you and throw you under the bus. Thank God. There'll be somebody along every once in a while say thank you. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for just keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Keep pressing toward tomorrow. Keep forgetting those things which are behind. And keep reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, because one day we're going to cross the mark. And the mark there is the finish line. This thing will be over. The race will be run. There'll not be another hill to climb. Not another valley to cross. Thank God. Amen. We'll be home with the Lord. Bless His name. What causes a man, listen to this, boy, it's so good. Oh my goodness. What causes a person to be continually, that ing on the forgetting, ing is on the reaching. It's to be continually going on, continually. Just like a runner, when a runner is running, he's continually taking steps, every step he takes. It's continual. But watch this. What causes a man? What causes a woman? What causes a boy and a girl to continually be forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before? God showed this to me. I'm telling you, it helped me. It's your attitude toward apprehending and attaining. Those words are in that text. What is your attitude toward attaining? Verse 12, he said, I've not already attained. Either we're already perfect, but he said, I follow after. Paul was driven by the desire to attain or apprehend. Verse 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know what that term is? You know, you've heard that. Oh, we've apprehended the criminal. We've apprehended. You know what that means? We've got them in custody. We've put our hands on them. We've got our hands on them. We've caught them. Paul said, I've got a burning desire to lay hands on and have in my possession the purpose for which God laid His hands on me for. You know, when you have a problem with forgetting and reaching, it's when you've lost that desire to apprehend, lay hold on what God laid hold on you for. And everybody that He saves, Brother Aaron, everybody that God has saved, He's got things before you that He purposes. He's got things He wants to do in your life and with your life. Amen. He's got that in mind. He never has saved anybody just for the purpose of keeping you out of hell. That's a glorious side fringe benefit. He saved us to use us. He saved us for us to serve Him, to carry out His will in our life. Where's your desire to attain? Boy, Paul said, I want to attain. I want to apprehend that for which also I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. You got that in your heart? That'll sure help you to be doing the forgetting, those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The word attain means to arrive at, to get hold of, to obtain, or to receive. To apprehend means to take eagerly and to seize possession. When's the last time? Look up here. We'll be done sometime shortly. But listen to this. When's the last time you read in the Bible and you say, oh, I want that. I want that. Did y'all see when I was running there a moment ago or somewhat? Every step I take, there's a hand that goes forward. Every step you take, there's a hand that's reaching forth. Amen. And watch this, every step I take, you've got a leaving foot and a landing foot. A leaving foot and a landing foot. Make sure your landing foot never becomes a standing foot. That's good enough. I'm close enough. No. Just keep leaving and landing, leaving and landing, leaving and landing. And with every step, reach. You're reaching as if you're pulling yourself towards your purpose. The runner is pulling himself toward his reason. Have you forgot? Oh, I'm preaching to somebody tonight besides myself. I'm preaching to myself too. Have you forgot your reason? Why are you running? Have you forgot your reason? That's what drives a runner. That's what drives that runner is that reason. That I'm got a launching, leaving foot, and you've got, and it's pushing off. You need to push off from your past. Instead of standing in it and wallowing around in it and saying, well, I wish somebody would feel sorry for me. I wish I could have some sympathy. No. Realize that you're in a good race. Run the race that is set before you. Amen. And push off from that. And pull, when you push off from that past position, pull your foot away from it and step it out on new turf. And keep reaching. Let your mamas, daddies, grandparents, make sure your children and grandchildren keep seeing you're reaching in front of you. Amen. Reaching. You're to let everybody know that what's up ahead of you is far bigger than what's behind you. Say that right there. Oh my goodness, what's behind you is little compared to what's up ahead. Those things which are before. This Bible talks about things that are before. You know what one of those things are? The coming of the Lord. Is that little? Is that little? No, that's big. The Bible calls it the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. Apprehend to take eagerly. Amen, glory to God. Reaching forth. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I like it, don't you? I think I'm going to just stop right there. That little word and connects the two. Equals, both equals, value and importance. They're connected in proper order. Forgetting has got to go first, along with the reaching. And keep moving. Keep moving. You may not be able to sprint. I showed somebody that little clip that I was letting y'all listen to this morning of that fella come running, jumping across the front. I said, that's the grandpa of that young boy, that first one that hit the altar and got saved Thursday night. He wasn't sprinting. He wasn't like just peeling the carpet up. He was just barely moving, but he was sort of like Aaron, kind of, you know. You may not be running wide open. You may not be running as fast as somebody else, or you may be running faster than somebody else. But we're not competing. It's not a one-win prize thing. Well, I can't beat you, so why should I try? No, every one of us can win. Strive for the mastery, every one of us. If you cross the finish line, you are a winner. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I've sure been helped tonight. Lord, have mercy. Preacher Rackley has been helped by his own preaching tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. Don't forget your reason. Keep reaching forward. Those two are opposites, forgetting and reaching. They're two Lord, give me this coming to church tonight. Let me write it down. There's two different actions because there's two different directions. Behind and before. Don't get hung up in the past that you forget that the best is yet to come.